Hello, this is Peter Davison. You're listening to Gallifrey Public Radio.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Joe from PopX Cast,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Gallifrey Public Radio, a podcast dedicated to positive enjoyment of everything in the Doctor Who spectrum. Join us each week for discussions ranging from Hartnell to Whittaker and beyond. Your GPR hosts are Jay Witten.
Safety measures are for chumps who don't know what they're doing.
Keir Hansen.
Oh, hold on. I saw it on my mixer. I turned up the suck. Hold on.
And Haley Malley.
I feel like I might need to carb up for next week's episode.
Oh, and
spoilers.
We do discuss recent news, episodes that have already aired in their home territories, and the occasional interesting rumor. But don't worry, if we look too far into the future, we'll give you a fair warning.
Welcome to episode 277 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where we prepare for battle against some of the most formidable foes of the convention circuit. The parking troll. The panel scheduling trickster. The New Jersey Turnpike! I'm Jay.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Keir. This week, we are champing at the bit for next weekend's extra temporal extravaganza, the fourth installment of the Regeneration Who convention in lovely, lovely Baltimore, Maryland. No, that is not actually sarcasm in the least, because not only do we have a full roster of really great panels to attend, we're actually hosting a fair number of them. And all the while, we're looking forward to catching up with some friends and listeners like yourselves, and possibly, you know, sharing a lift with one of the incredible talents in attendance. So seriously, if you had told us that a con that was only 4 years into its stretch was going to tally up a scorecard like this, we would have asked the bartender what you were having. So, yeah. Quite a bit going on. I figured we might just, in case you've been living under a rock or just come out of your Sheriff Rick coma or what have you, the talent roster that you're looking at here is pretty extensive. You both know it pretty well. You've seen everything as they were getting announced and everything that's coming about. What are you most looking forward to? Haley, I know you're going to be joining me there. So what's on your wish list as you're laying out your schedule?
I would like to bump into Michelle Gomez out in the wild.
Okay. Emphasis on wild.
Yep.
I mean, that would be kind of terrifying, but yeah.
Like at the bar or something?
Oh, no. Okay.
I really hope Michelle Gomez and Peter Capaldi hold court at the bar. That would fantastic.
It'd be insane. Because, well, the bar layout on that floor is really open. Like, you can see from across this open flooring plan, you see everything that's over on that one primary bar that's on the con level. So it's just like Galley has Lobby Con. Well, you know, this is the Regen has BarCon, because it's really the only place, unless you want to start venturing out into some of the town bars right there in the harbor area. That's the place to stick around. So it could be exactly that. You know, at least for an evening or a short stint until everything becomes a mob scene and they have to get escorted out by security or something for their own safety. Jay, you're not gonna be able to join us here.
Yeah,
but you've seen some of the stuff that's coming around, some of the people that are going to be in attendance. What do we need to put on our punch list that we need to do on your behalf?
I mean, obviously, Michelle Gomez and Peter Capaldi are the big draws. I mean, they're, you know, the most current talent that we've got joining. But I mean, Capaldi is one of three doctors showing up. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you've got Peter Davison, you've got Colin Baker, who, you know, I mean, he'll show up to almost anything, but yeah. But I mean, you've also got John Leeson, you've got Terry Malloy, you've got, I mean, the list on this is insane. I mean, Ian Chesterton's going to be there.
Yeah,
he's our guest. How old is William Russell?
I don't know. I thought he was in his early 80s. I wanted to say he was 82, okay. 83 or so. But that's a pot shot on my behalf. You started to allude to Peter Davison. You've got the entire Fifth Doctor's TARDIS team there.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. He's got the whole freaking classroom.
Yeah.
The whole. So Nyssa, you know, Sarah Sutton's going to be there. Adric, Matthew Waterhouse, Tegan, Janet Fielding, who is amazing to see on panels. She takes no prisoners. She's fantastic. But you even have Turlough.
Yes.
I mean, so, and I can't remember the last time you got a chance to see Mark Strickson stateside. So, yeah. really looking forward to that. That's going to be a phenomenal panel when that gets pulled together. And if they do, I believe they have some companion-centric panels. Because then you're also going to have John Leeson, who we got a chance to speak to, Fantastics, K-9. You've got Michael Jaston there. So you've got the Valyard and the Sixth Doctor. Come on! I mean,
yeah.
And Perry!
You talk about having you know, Peter Capaldi and Michelle Gomez holding court in the bar. Like, I want to see the Sixth Doctor and the Valyard. Like, just... I want to see... Oh, God.
It'd be like the Sharks and the Jets. It'd be so cool.
With Capaldi and Gomez sitting over in the corner, be like, "Wow, they really don't get along, do they?"
they're definitely the Sharks. Yeah. In that analogy.
So it just for anyone that is going to attend, though, if you have not ever heard the story and you get Colin Baker and Nicola Bryant in close proximity to each other, ask one of them about the story of Colin Baker biting Nicola Bryant on the rear.
Yes.
Please do. Absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm. And we're not going to give you any more of that. Just go on that one. And hope
and then
that,
just count how many shades of red Colin Baker's face will go, because that's the only story I've ever seen him have that kind of reaction to.
Mm-hmm. No, and Nicola will keep it down on lockdown. She's got it covered. She's also, fascinating thing that they added just recently to the roster of things, she's going to be doing this hypnotherapy stuff. Apparently now she's a licensed hypnotist. Therapeutic hypnotist. So she's going to be doing demonstrations and actually working sessions with people over the course of the weekend, which I thought was highly ironic, because if you've ever sat in proximity with her, she's kind of hypnotizing in and of herself. I mean, she looks amazing. She's so active. She's full of energy. She's got this amazing kind of energy about her. So you're just kind of, okay, yes, whatever you say. Yeah, okay. Oh, Yep. And you're so accustomed to hearing her American accent that when you get to hear her with her natural British accent, it's even more alluring. And the hypnosis, got it. Yeah, sure. But I'm a chicken. I'm a chicken. Okay. So, but that's just your cast talent.
Right.
You get to go on from there. You've got great representation from Big Finish, which is something that that Oni and Harknell do every year. They've got, you know, Jason Hay-Gallery is almost a staple in attendance. But you've also got a number of Big Finish writers past and present. The writers list, including Paul Magers, Nev Fountain, Robert Shearman's going to be back, who joined us for some of the games last year. And he's a phenomenal person to listen to if he's either talking about the Big Finish days or writing for the Target novelizations or working with Paul Cornell and company during the Wilderness years, or even some of the stuff that he's done for the television series and writing for season one for Dalek, which was a variation of Jubilee, which he wrote for Big Finish. So just great stories emerge out of these things. John Peel, good friend of ours, who's written for the novels, novelizations, quite a bit of them from the Terry Malloy era. He's actually written novelizations of a lot of the Davros stories. So the two of them tend to do panels together that are really kind of interesting, and comics as well. And our champion, Rachel Tell.
Yes.
She's all over the schedule this weekend. It's going to be phenomenal. So her with Capaldi and Gomez, I mean, this is going to be such a great weekend. And we're going to try to live tweet as much as we can throughout to share for the folks that aren't going to be in attendance with us. I will work as long as my battery remains charged, you know, and keep the information going. And there are a few friends of ours from some of the other podcasts that will be helping sort of cover as well. So keep tabs on folks over at This Week in Time Travel. Keep tab with the folks from, let's see who else is going to be there. We will not have our Head Over Feels bloggers there. So we're going to have to represent. Haley, you're going to have to wear more glitter.
Okay. I don't think enough glitter exists for me to keep up with them.
Okay. Can you drink wine out of a tumbler?
That I can handle.
Done. Okay. Through a straw. Got it.
Yep.
Okay. Set.
You've got 20% of
any
effort right there.
Any drinking goals I need to hit, I can do.
Box ticked. Got it. So definitely going to be a great just as an attendee, just coming along to see what's going on. We're personally going to be busy as heck because we've got a number of panels, but we get to actually kick the whole weekend off not an hour after everything starts on Friday. So Friday, 3 p.m., Onion and James Harknell, they do their welcome panel in the main panel room. Everybody gets all fired up. And goes and tears off to the various panel rooms, and you can immediately at 4 p.m. come join us for the GPR meetup. It's going to be a very crowded room because we've already had.
We'll be drinking, right?
It's yes.
Yes. Okay. I was just seeing if I wanted to go or not.
Right. There will be some. There will be some. Okay. We're going to have to pace ourselves though, because we're going straight from that meetup, and there's going to be a lot of people there. That's where we're actually going to do our live recording. So, no guarantees.
Talking about how great the convention is.
Exactly. How are you guys enjoying the con for the first hour? Hey, how do you like your rooms? Parking's a bitch, isn't it? Hey.
That lobby, right?
How about those vendors you haven't seen yet?
How long did you wait for an elevator?
Oh, yeah. Actually, well, no, the elevators last year were right. I mean, they were just clicking. Everything was great.
Okay, because I know at Galley at some point, I decided that it would be quicker to take the 10 flights of stairs than wait for an elevator.
Shorter hotel.
That helps.
Shorter, broader hotel. It's like L-shaped on the corner there. So more breadth, less height.
Okay.
But immediately after going through our meetup, which we'll be doing all sorts of Q&A with listeners. We've got, at least as far as I know of, we've already got 30, 35 people that are going to be packed into the room for that, including some friends from some other podcasts. We got representation from the folks over the Happiness Patrol going to be coming in, chatting with us and sort of, you know, helping the fort. And some talent may be doing some surprise arrivals as well. And we're going to give away some swag and all that good stuff. So should be a lot of fun.
Ooh, we've got good swag.
Yeah. Well, we got at least a good swag. What's a singular?
We have a good unit of swag.
And then get there early. Some swaglets, some lesser swaglets. So, right after that, which is the reason why we can't drink as hard as we normally would at one of our live recordings, no matter what time of afternoon it was, is we're going to jump straight from there into a panel that we've done at other cons, but it gets more intense each year. I think as the body of work within the Doctor Who universe gets enriched, and that's the Doctor Companion Symbiosis. Haley, didn't the last time we did this was at LI like 2 years back? I think.
Do you expect me to remember something from 2 years ago?
It was on a Sunday afternoon, too, so you were probably pretty bleary. But I'm pretty sure you were in the room. This is when
it's entirely possible.
It was actually...
It'll be like a whole new panel.
Yeah, it was right after we had gotten the announcement of Asbil.
Oh, I do remember this.
Right. And we all wondered what kind of a companion we were going to really need. What did the show need for the audience at that point? But we would base that at toward the end of the conversation after really talking about, and this is something, Jay, we've had an episode, I want to say we go all the way back to like episode 76 or something like this, 78 maybe, which was the
like
role of the companion.
200 episodes ago?
Yeah, 200 episodes ago, the role of the companion, where we were talking about, you know, can the companion be a friend? Can they be a partner? Can they be a colleague? Can they be a martyr? You know, and all of these different buckets that you could place them into, and how those different archetypes support the Doctor at different stages in their ebb and flow of persona. So we get a chance now towards the end of this conversation to talk about what the heck is that going to mean for the 13th Doctor and potentially multiple companions, and we still don't even know because of the black box that is Chibnall's brain.
Yeah.
So that should be a kicker. Then we get to sleep eventually. We'll probably go
sleep
yeah
for the week.
Well, we definitely make sure we have to catch some of the talent shows that night. There's the Dave Ross, not Davros, the Dave Ross comedy show, which is basically Terry Molloy doing this bizarre variety show with Kat Smith. On Saturday, we've got what I think is going to be one of our more complicated conversations. And this was actually a suggestion from one of our podcast friends, Jeannie, from over at Tyrion's Landing, also on the Gunna Geek Network.
I know her.
Yes, we all know her. She had attended a con where whatever the panel conversation was, it started to drift towards a topic that when she told me about it and was sort of recounting how interesting it was before time cut that particular thread of conversation short, I knew I wanted to run with it with Doctor Who. And that had to do with the idea of having a pacifist character and how it may be a challenge or nearly impossible with a modern audience to write a science fiction character that holds strong to pacifist ethics, or whether it's just going to be expected by the audience at a certain point for them to, circumstances being what they are, they have to give in to the need of the moment and put their ethical code of conduct aside in order to succumb to violence to end the situation. And it just gets, it's a really spiky, complicated conversation. I think it's going to be really engaging. We've got some great folks joining us on the panel. Chip Sutterth from 2 Minute Time Lord is going to be in on that conversation, along with a few other folks that you'll recognize. So really looking forward to that one. That night, we ruin everything and play our game.
Yeah.
So it'll be either the third or fourth instance of us ruining a convention by playing Oh No Who Didn't, and all of the strange trivia and character twisting rounds that go through that. But we will be joined by good podcasting company, good friends of the convention, and some talent as well. Kat Smith, entertainer extraordinaire, you know her as the queen of cosplay and ukuleles, she's everywhere. And Terry Malloy himself will be joining us to play that game, so that should descend into madness right quick.
Yay.
And then on a Sunday, when we're all completely wiped out, we're just going to gang up on Chris Chibnall, you know, like you do, and do some hypothesizing about whether or not we're calling the panel Broadchurch in Space? Question mark. Because of the fact that he's bringing so much of his cast and crew, and potentially dramatic style, as far as we know. We don't really know. So that's some of the things that we're going to be, you know, tossing around and seeing what makes sense based on his CV, and what little snippets we've gotten from some press junkets and recent interviews, one of which we'll be talking about during the news. So, yeah, we'll be scattered all over the place. Vendors, check them out. Pixel Who Kids will be there. Redfish Roofish be there. Just tons of opportunities. Geek Boy shirts. You'll see our friend Louis Palumbra there. Everything. Just it's a great convention, and this year they're just blowing it. So super, super excited. If you have questions, reach out to us through the you know, if you want to know when are the times, you know, is there you know, opportunity to be on panels, or are there things that I can get involved with during the meetup and all that, just reach out to us, shoot us emails, leave us messages, you know, call us voicemails. Yeah, voicemail.
Still, we keep saying that and still nobody's bothered.
I'm on this podcast. I forget routinely that it exists. I remember about twice a year. I'm like, oh yeah, we have a voicemail line.
I don't know their number. It's on my speed dial.
Anybody check and make sure it still works?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jake has some notifications if messages are left.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That are not telemarketers telling him that he's got to be concerned about the status of his PC software. Yeah. Or the PC
or
he
his
own.
Credit card.
Oh, credit card. I'm calling from credit card services.
I have an exciting offer for your small business.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. All right. So that's what we are looking forward to. So by the time you are listening to us on the next episode, we will be live from Baltimore. Sunny, sunny Baltimore. Although they're talking about snowstorms around the area, like between Maryland and Pennsylvania, that's going to affect a bunch of people driving. I don't know.
Our friend just sent me a reminder to bring a coat.
Oh, thanks. A coat. Well, yeah, coming from Arizona. Yeah, a coat.
Yep, it's easy to forget.
Try the crab. Trust me.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true. There's actually a couple of really good restaurants right outside of there. But all right, so we've actually teed up a couple of things that are happening in this week's news, if we want to roll into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Okay, so if you're fortunate enough, or if you've decided already to register for the Sunday Times at Okay, so that you can get access to their online articles. You can get the fullest article there and read it all through. Jody Whittaker sat down and had a great Q&A with them that you can only read about the two first paragraphs of on the Times website unless you choose to go further and give them your contact information and what you're planning on naming your children. So if you don't, you can follow the link that we've sent along and you gain some pretty interesting information as far as what you can glean about Ms. Whittaker, about where she is in the production process, about who her doctor is. What were some of the your interesting takeaways?
I always, at this point, after Pearl Mackey kind of broke the trend, it's nice to hear somebody that's joined the show that's like, you know what, honestly, I didn't watch it as a kid. Like, I didn't grow up watching this because you've had so many people that are like, oh my God, I did everything I possibly could to get on there and whatever. And I mean, but after David Tennant and Peter Capaldi, I mean, it's just, I enjoy I enjoy people that are fans of the show, but I also appreciate someone that has the courage to stand up and be like, you know what? No, this is my first foray into this fandom. And so far it's been great, but it's not something that I've been through my entire childhood.
Yeah, that's true. So she's admittedly a new Whovian.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of us out there.
More than you might realize, because a lot of people get, they work backwards so quickly. They get so invested and then they want to spread that by the time they're done sort of just exploring back into the earlier content, they no longer consider themselves a new Whovian. At that point, you know, the moniker falls.
Mm-hmm.
But from inception points, you ask people, oh, what was your entry point? Which is why we ask that kind of thing all the time when we play Five Rounds Rapid with people. And you'd be surprised how many people will say, oh, I came into it with Blink. I came into it with Rose when it first started airing locally. So, or I came into it through Torchwood.
Torchwood, yeah. Which, I mean, we have friends of the show that have said that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's actually quite common.
Yeah. I want to say, actually, I can't remember whether or not that was Julie's entry. I think it might have been. I think she actually had seen some Torchwood first and wanted to know who they were referring to. So she hadn't even gotten through the first season, backed into season one or series one.
Yeah,
I think. So we've also learned that the production process is still very much going on. I mean, they are actively within one of the production blocks, and there's a lot that has yet to be written, let alone discussed through. So if, as she was asked what was going to be going on with the balance with her companions, and I noticed that she did not deny referring to the three of them, Bradley Walsh, Mandeep Gill, and Tosin Cole, as companions when they were addressed that way. But she said,
he might not be as pedantic about it as the rest of us.
Very, very true.
What? Whovians aren't pedantic. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry, I forgot who I was talking to.
at the time of this particular interview, which I'm assuming was probably only a few weeks back, she said, I'm only a few weeks into production at this point. So there's a lot of things still up in the air. So, which makes sense, you know, based on some of the set reports that have been flying around and things like that. So I get it. How much has actually been written? Really no. But she was actually, I'm not sure if it was it later in this interview that she was talking about bumping into fans in Cardiff?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there was like a little boy who had seen her and he was kind of spooked and didn't really know how to react upon seeing her. So she just kind of, you know, she dashed up to him and asked him, hey, are you all right, mate? To sort of just take the edge off of it. How cool.
Yeah. That's, I really think that is probably one of the biggest legacy pieces that Peter Capaldi has left for the show, is that every doctor is going to be measured to that bar at this point. Like, how do they interact with fans? Because he set the bar crazy high.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if Eccleston followed Capaldi?
Hoo-hoo.
It'd be like
there would
shutdown.
Be riots in the street.
He's hiding!
I saw him, and he did not spend 45 minutes talking to me about...
He's been in the Peilu for 45 minutes. He won't come out. I think he's ringing the police.
Oh, God.
No, obviously, no real surprise to anyone who her doctor is.
Well, no, not so much.
She worked alongside him for years, so...
Well, I mean, if she said anyone else, he would probably be at her doorstep. Who's your doctor?
That's right. He probably just rings her up every once in a while just to remind her. I'm still your doctor, right? So, Tennant is near and dear. The other stuff coming through wasn't flapped by the auditions. Consummate professionalism. Just went in assuming she already had the job.
I mean, that's she's already admitted that, you know, she didn't watch the show as a kid, and you know, so it's she didn't understand how important it was.
Yeah, this decision wasn't super, super critical. And one of the last things that sort of came along here was that she made a point of expressing what an interactive and collaborative process it's been, even just over these first few weeks of production in putting the show together, which gives me a lot of hope that there is some creative give and take from Chibnall's man in the high throne. Bad analogy, sorry. The man in the fancy the folding
man,
chair.
Man in Hightower?
Yeah, to be able to say, you know what, can we explore, can we try, you know, spinning it this way, see how this scene plays out. You know, she's talked about being part of team mentality, playing a lot of sport. So that will be contributing fodder to our conversation in the Broadchurch in Space panel, is to see if it is or isn't the writer's room, is it still something where the script is dynamic until it's shot? Sort of. Mm-hmm. Because even if the actors have a bit of input, that's relatively new territory. There may be a few directors who can say, oh, let's try spinning the scene a little different. But script changes? You want to tell Moffat to change one of his scripts? I'm not feeling this scene, Stephen.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Moffat is like 10 times cleverer than anyone else in the room. So,
self-admittedly so.
First one to tell you.
And the last one to tell you. And the one to tell you at all the points in between. So, yeah, this has just got me more excited. Every once in a while, one of these little pieces of information comes around and you just get more jazzed about what's coming down the pike. I'm right, really cool yeah. with this.
And one of the other things that we've heard coming down the pipe is that one of the episodes coming up is actually going to be taking a look at the U.S. civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a step back towards the roots of where the show came from to educate people. I mean, the show is custom built to teach about science and history. And we've stepped away from it in recent times because, you know, storytelling and things like that. And it hasn't been a detriment to the show, but this is taking everything that we've built and saying, why don't we incorporate some of that back into the case? We can still tell a fascinating story and include some pertinent information.
Mm. Specifically, if they're going to be doing, this is based on a lot of the rumors that were going around that there was going to be a Rosa Parks character. An instance of Rosa Parks interacting with the doctor in one of the episodes. And that's cool. I did see some interesting comments going around, and I absolutely agree with this, that if that's going to be the case, it has a potential of being something really extraordinary, but could also go tremendously wrong if it's not represented well. And mm-hmm. specifically, they should really have somewhere in the creative process, whether it's a co-writer or somebody who's in there as a creative contributor, who's a woman of color.
I think you almost need an American's insight to it as well.
Absolutely.
Like, you're going to look at something that is so much a part of race relations, especially in America.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to understand the intricacies of race in this country.
Without question. Yeah. So, and maybe some of that's going to emerge based on the amount of attention that this, a lot of this, okay, just back up a second here. Some of this came about because of some discussion from a credible source to the Mirror. And sure, we'll talk about the Mirror or not talk about the Mirror.
No one loves to crap on the Mirror as much as we do.
That's one of the best things to catch crap on the way down. but I took a little bit of umbrage with the fact that there were articles both from Mirror itself and people sort of leapfrogging or signal boosting their own summary articles about the Mirror article that had to do with this idea of becoming more educational going into series 11. And I had a little bit of an issue with it because of the fact that the way some of it was phrasing or was being phrased, and the Radio Times kind of picked up on this too, is that for some reason that it wasn't educational as it was. And maybe they were speaking strictly historical academics, okay? Mm-hmm. Or maybe strictly sciences. But the tone they were giving it all was somehow saying that it has completely devolved into whimsy and fantasy and no longer has any educational substance to it. And I really took issue with that. And because, I mean, I got this thought out once and it was just something that I still stand by inherently. And if people want to come at me for it, but please go ahead. But the show has historically, since 1963 to the present, with very few lapses in between, even if you're not talking about what's on screen, the program, the content has taught us to maintain a sense of wonder. It has taught us to want to explore. It wants us to question what we're handed and what we see. It has taught us to challenge what we're being told, probably more so than many other series out there of its contemporaries. It has taught us in most recent years, it has in the past, but in some of the more recent season, it has taught us to want to protect. And in this most series, it has taught us, reminded us to be kind. And I think if that is not fundamentally educational, then I fail to understand what is. So if they want to say that it's becoming more academic, then I think that's a better choice of words to stress what they're saying. We're going to have more historical pieces. We're going to have ones where we're going to go back and meet more figures, and get to treat this like Quantum Leap. or something of that sort. But really, I mean, essentially, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what you're looking at, right? You want to go back and hit pivotal moments. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what kind of shape this takes. But yeah, I mean, to your point, it's one of my favorite things to point people to anytime they say that, you know, they've stepped away from the, you know, education or whatever, is that, I mean, that the one line in this most recent series, you know, it's history is a whitewash. Like,
yeah,
sorry, that's more educational than most of the stuff you're going to see on TV. So
it gets people wondering. It gets people to say, well, what does that mean? I mean, I understand the term, but how are they applying that to history? So, you know, and it gets especially younger viewers to start questioning.
And
so.
I think that is far more educational than anything that you can, you know, shove down somebody's throat, is get them to ask the question and seek it out. Right. I would much rather that.
Yep. Rather than having a return to the Aztecs or, you know, or what have you, you know, or return to the Romans. Because you could do that intermittently, but I would not make a series out of it.
No, yeah.
I mean, that changes the whole zeitgeist of the show, and now you no longer get to have any futuristic endeavors and things of that sort, or even just, you know, relative present, where you get to look at the world around you and say, okay, things right now outside our window need fundamental change. So,
yeah.
Last thing to feature into the news here, which we had just alluded to, in case you didn't get it, and one of the reasons why we're so excited about the fact that Peter Capaldi is going to be at Regen is because of the fact that this is his first convention since retiring from the role.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be doing a series of cons around the stateside, or at least around North America, but this is his first, and according to his publicist and his booking agent, one of the reasons why he chose to do this one first was because of the fact that the convention has an intrinsic connection to the town and to the fan base. There's a very thin wall between talent and the fan community at a con of this nature, because it's it's an extremely safe space and is very cognizant of that. It maintains a lot of policies that protect the talent, that protect the con goers, and it has built a great reputation. And I think that's got to be part and parcel the reason why he decided to come to Baltimore first. We're honored to have him. And I can't wait to blow up the Twitter sphere with every freaking thing that he has to say.
Yeah, I can guarantee you that just pretty much anything that comes out of his mouth this coming weekend will be documented online somehow.
The transcript will be on Twitter.
Exactly, yeah. Somebody's just going to follow him around and be like, oh my God, he ordered this.
Yeah. Just put a Google dictation.
Oh, he thanked the waiter.
I like the way he says cheers. It's chiz. It's chiz. Well, there you have it. So, next week, live from Regeneration Who in Baltimore.
Not even a whole week away.
Not even a whole week, yeah, because by the time you get this into your hands, it's like days away. Depends.
Yeah, you're probably driving to the convention and listening to this.
You should be packing right now.
We'll see you
in a
few hours.
Stop listening to this.
I'll save you a parking space. Not really. Nobody can save anybody a parking space in this town.
Yeah, I saved you a spot. It's next to the thing and then by the other thing.
Oh, where that guy sets up his chair?
Yep.
Hey, yep. Got it.
You know, the best spot to find like actual good parking, it's in Portsmouth down in Virginia. You can walk it. It's okay.
Best place is just take your hovercraft in and leave it in the harbor.
In fact, leave your car. Get on a bus now.
Yeah.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, this has been episode 277 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, wow, I can already feel the hangover.
And this is Kier saying, not to make anyone nervous, but the odds of actually sharing an elevator ride with Capaldi or Gomez are better than like 1 in 200.
Oh, God.
And this is Haley saying, don't worry, Jay, I'll Photoshop you into some of the pictures.
Head on we'll a see. Stick.
We'll see you guys next week.
We'll see.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com, tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio, or on Facebook @facebook.com/GallifreyPublicRadio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You should also go to GunnaGeek.com and check out lots of other high-quality geek-centric shows, or visit forums.GunnaGeek.com to talk about anything geeky with us or the community.